This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Joshua, for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Joshua, please?
OCR Academy is it's an obstacle course training facility. Essentially, it's imagine if CrossFit met obstacle course racing. They had a baby. That would be my class and my workout. It's a family focused fitness facility. So we have, you know, if little Timmy at 7 wants to go play on the obstacle course while dad and mom go do weight training, you can do that. We have classes for kids. We also have classes for adults. Summer camps, birthday parties, team building, and family fitness.
And how long have you been in business, Joshua, with this particular business?
We're 9 years. So 2025 will be the 10-year mark. We started in September of 2015.
Well, congratulations. As you know, the statistics are not kind to businesses past kind of the 5-year mark. So congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. I was actually, I was able to, can you hear me?
Yep.
It was within the first 3 years, I was actually able to start seeing, it was within the first year that we started seeing a profit, and I was paying myself by year three. And then by year five, I was able to kind of walk away. I only had to be there for a couple hours every week. And I was going to start focusing on something else, but then, 2020 happened. And I was, everyone had to take a halt. So luckily I own an obstacle course facility. So overcoming obstacles, kind of what we do.
Nice. And what were you doing before you started this?
I was a personal trainer. And then I worked for Spartan Race. So I got into physical fitness. I worked for Good Life, Anytime Fitness and personal training. Then I developed my own kind of like boot camp sort of thing. And then I discovered Spartan Race, and I went and did my first race, and I fell in love with it. And I did that for a year. And then the following year I applied for a job, and then I worked for Spartan Race. And then, so I would do my personal training and group classes for the year, but then for the summer I would go work for Spartan Race and building the obstacle courses across the Canada. And then while I was doing that, I got to work with one of the franchisees directly. And I guess I was doing market research without even realizing it, because, I mean, working for Spartan Race, it was tough, it was long, it was hard, the pay wasn't the greatest. It was just enough that they covered all of our expenses, so it was all right, but the sleeping on course, sleeping on the ski hill, wasn't the best accommodations. But I got valuable market research, because at the end of every race, I'd always ask people, how did you like the race? What was your favorite part? And so they said, I like this, I love that. But the one thing that I do wish is that if there was somewhere where I could go and train for it. And when you hear that over and over and over again, I'm reminded of the Blockbuster story where, it's essential for marketing. It's like what not to do. The organizers of Blockbuster were like, my clients, they love going to my store, talking to my clients, picking up a VHS, rewinding it, bringing it back. They love that. No, we just want to be in our comfy pants and be downstairs and click a button and find the movie that we want. And they had all the rights to all the movie that they had. All they had to do is just put it on the internet and charge a membership fee. But no, they didn't listen to their clients. So I was listening. So I had an opportunity where I could open up an Anytime Fitness. I actually reached out to Greco Fitness, and I had about $100,000 that I could invest in, and they never returned my phone call. So
wow.
Then I read the book called The Purple Cow. And then when you hear enough about what people are wanting, then I was talking to one of the franchisees of Spartan Race, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to have a Spartan gym? Place where you can train. Like, there's like 20,000 people going to these races, but I can just get 1% of those people for for an entire year. That will be a membership base. What do you think? I said, that's a good idea. And then the more and more I read about it and heard people talking about it, I was like, okay, I think there's something here. And I just decided to take a chance and do something that really nobody else is doing. Nobody else has combined obstacle course racing and CrossFit in the way that I'm doing and making it accessible for the entire family. I've got kids on the Concept 2 rowers. I've got 10-year-old girls on the ski machines. I've got kids climbing up 8-foot walls as well as adults and monkey bars and lifting weights and doing carries. And yeah, it's almost like evolutionary fitness, you know, trying to remind people what we did before Good Life, before Any Times or any of those things, before dumbbells. What did we do to stay in shape?
Yeah. You realize that for a lot of those kids, that Blockbuster reference, we'll have to explain to them what Blockbuster even was.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It was so archaic back then. How did you guys live? Never sounded like our parents.
Exactly.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. When you mentioned Purple Cow, is that the Seth Godin book?
Yes.
Yeah. So for anyone listening, I have it as well. I wanted to clarify that's the one I was thinking of. And it really is. It's a short, but it's a really impactful read. It's I don't know how old it is, but, you know, it's probably about 15 years old now, maybe 10 years. But it's still relevant, I find.
Agreed. It's that the way I explain it to everyone is that imagine, why would you buy eggs and milk from a farm? Chances are because one, you either know the farmer or you've heard about the farm. But let's say, for instance, you don't have those two and you're driving down a farm field and you see a black and white cow. Okay. Then you see a brown and white cow. You've seen those before. But then you go to the last one, never seen a purple cow before. But the eggs and milk are the exact same as all the other farmers, but it's presented differently. So sometimes, you know, when you go there, there's like a merry-go-round and there's a Ferris wheel and there's like a petting zoo and it's great for the whole family. And it really was my inspiration to try and think outside the box when it comes to, you know, fitness.
And Joshua, were you always interested in fitness, like from the time you were a kid? Is this like a natural, or is it something you developed later on in life and fell in love with it?
We can go deep if you want, give you kind of the origin story.
It's up to you.
Cool. I was born prematurely, and I was born in the bottom 8th percentile of survival. I had a failure to thrive multiple times. You know, I was a survivor from the very, very beginning. Then raised in the foster care system, I was raised to believe that I was just worth $20 a day. I did figure skating a little bit here and there, but then I had no real guidance to keep me kind of in line with having somebody remind me that physical fitness is good. You know, a movement is life. I think it should be part of your hygiene routine. You know, every day, hopefully, you brush your teeth. Every day you should exercise in some kind of way. So I didn't really have anybody to remind me of that and keep me accountable. I got to a point where my mentor, the person who adopted me, I was kind of going through a rough patch in my life. This is fast forward to, I'm in my 20s now. Still wasn't really into exercise or really, I didn't play any sports. I didn't play competitive sports since I was at 14 and barely went to the gym, drank a lot, had no real sense of purpose or direction. And then my mentor called me, and this is after my fiance had a miscarriage, our puppy died, I got laid off from my job, and then my foster brother, one of my closest friends, died in a tragic car accident all in the span of a year.
Wow.
And I didn't have the tools to kind of deal with that, and life just really hasn't happened to me by that point, considering that I did have a lot of obstacles to overcome growing up.
Yeah.
But when I got that phone call from my mentor, he was just finishing up a meeting with a bunch of people who are going to carry on his life's work when he's gone. My mentor at the time was Max Keeping, who's a local broadcaster here in Ottawa, kind of a local celebrity, the anchorman of Ottawa. And he kind of welcomed me into his circle and into his tribe, and we had what we called the family of choice. But at this point, I've been separated. I lost my brother, I have a job, I have a future child, no puppy, like really no sense of direction or purpose. You know, when I got that phone call, now all of a sudden, now it seems like I have no future. And what am I here for? To carry on whose life's work? I guess nobody. So I thought I didn't have any direction. While I was going through this and through my separation, I was able to, we had a puppy and I had another dog, Buster. And Buster literally saved my life because I had a bottle of Oxycodone and a bottle of extra strength Tylenol and a bottle of Jack Daniels. And then I wanted to go to the canal and do what those three things, those combinations could do and just call it. But then Buster came in and looked at me to take him out for a walk. And it dawned upon me without even realizing it that this is my purpose. Like, if I do this, who's going to take care of Buster? Who's going to walk him? Who's going to feed him? He's just going to be left alone, stranded. And I couldn't do that to him. So now all of a sudden, I didn't feel alone. All of a sudden, I had purpose. And so just taking him out for a walk was just enough to get me out of the dark circle. And I flushed the Oxycodone down. I kept the Tylenol. And then I stopped drinking Jack Daniels. And then I needed a purpose. So I needed something to work toward. As Lisa was saying that, you know, when she wants to get back into bodybuilding, she needs a goal. So I said, okay, well, I don't play hockey, can't play soccer. I have no car, so really I'm limited to my area, and if I take public transportation. So I said, okay, well, Ottawa Race Weekend's coming up. Maybe I'll train for that. Maybe I'll do a 10K. Never done that before. So I set a goal. And it was a realistic goal. My time with Good Life, they taught me about SMART. You know, be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed. And that really resonated with me. So, okay, well, if I'm wanting to get into a pack, what pack should I do for my 10K? Never done it before. 60 minutes, 30 minutes. Where do I fit in? And I knew that 30 minutes would be too aggressive. That's not a SMART goal. An hour, okay, maybe. Well, let's go right in the middle and let's do 45 minutes. So I said, okay, I want to do 45 minutes. Trained, got myself out of the couch, off the couch. Transformed my body. I got rid of 30 pounds. Like, my before and after picture was just somebody who was very soft to somebody who was very well defined and shaped. And then I went to race weekend and I did my first 10K in 42 minutes and 30 seconds. Pretty good. And then when I did my before and after picture, people started asking me, what do I do? What do you do? What do you do? And so I just took them on what I did. And then somebody introduced me to Spartan Race. I love a Spartan Race and continue with my personal training. And so, yeah, really fitness. The short answer is probably in the last 15 years. I recently had a stress test done. I had I had a couple of incidents of vasovagal, or for your listeners that aren't, it's like a self-defense mechanism. So if your body goes into shock or something, then it just shuts down. So I had issues with my heart because it would skyrocket to like 125 beats per minute, and then I'd just pass out. What's going on? So I went and did my stress test, and it was last year. And it was on that day where we had that smoke advisory, where like the city was just like on fire, the country was on fire, more or less. And it was very, very smoky. So my gym is about 2 kilometers away from the hospital. Like, I'm not going to drive there, park there. So I ran. It felt like I was running through a bushfire. Right. And then I get there, and then they wanted to do the stress test. I'm like, okay, well, how are we going to stress me out? Were we going to talk about my relationship with my mother? We're going to talk about accounting. Like, how are you going to stress me out? I'm like, no, you're going to go on this treadmill, and you're going, as you run, we're going to start elevating. I do this every Wednesday for a living. So how much time you got? And they said that I had one of the best scores that they've seen. I beat like a 16-year-old kid, and this is when I'm 40. And now I'm in the top 10 percentile of men my age, going from bottom 8 when I was born to now in the top 10. And in my sport, obstacle course racing, I'm in the top 5 percentile. So I guess to answer your question, I've been into surviving my entire life. But as far as fitness is concerned, it's really been in the last 20 years. in the last 10 years, I've really taken it seriously where I do notice a day where if I don't move, that I really feel it.
Well, first off, thank you so much for you know, going so deep on that and sharing that with our listeners. Not easy stuff that you shared for sure, but I get the sense, and you and I are meeting for the first time today, but I get the sense, Joshua, that all of those lessons, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, personal lessons have really, you've been able to apply those to your business. Is that a fair statement?
It is. And that's why I think opening up an obstacle course gym, you know, that's why our tagline is overcoming life's challenges one obstacle at a time, because it's for some people, just showing up to the gym is the first obstacle that they have to overcome. And I always tell people, you don't have to do a Murph. You don't have to get into zone four. You don't have to do these crazy workouts. Really, like, you can just show up. That's all that matters. And you just, we're just going for a walk after every meal. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. But we try to, I tell our parents that, especially with the kids, we're not raising kids, but future adults. And nobody's teaching these kids how to think. They're always told what to do, where to be, when to eat, what to eat. So I want to start teaching people how to think, to be able to think critically, to think open-minded, to think empathetically, to be able to use every part of their brain. Because for a lot of these kids, you know, their prefrontal cortex is still not fully developed yet until they're 25. And then we just discovered there was another part of the brain that just discovered where it's directly related to willpower. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, I've heard of this before, but I don't know the term though.
That's the ACC, the something cortex.
Okay.
The part of the brain that I have to start remembering. But anyways, yeah, so we wanted to help those kids and adults be able to do difficult things every day. And for some of them, yeah, just showing up to the gym is the first obstacle.
Wow. So, you know, if we had to apply some of those life lessons to anyone listening that's running a business that may be struggling, is there one or two things you can point to and say, this is how I applied it to my business, and that's how I was able to overcome that particular business challenge?
People don't reflect as much as they should. You're going to make mistakes. Mistakes aren't the end. They're just the middle part of the equation, right? Now, imagine if a teacher asks a question and you raise your hand and you answer and then you got it wrong. Is that the end of it? It's not. There's still an answer and you get to be a part of that and then you get to learn something and not be afraid of that. So when you make your mistakes, and we've all made them, especially first-time business owners, we all make those mistakes. Rookie mistakes, there isn't necessarily a handbook. You need to do this. 13% of everything that you make needs to go into a separate account and not touched, because the government wants that. Nobody is teaching you that. So when it does happen, don't be hard on yourself. Be the teacher that asked you the question. They're going to be kind to you. They're going to let you know that was wrong. And they're going to give somebody else an opportunity to answer that question. And then you can find that out. So if you have a teammate or people around you that might have the answers for you, don't be afraid to ask those questions. And then also look back and think about, what did you do? Where did you go wrong? And how can you do better? And then so that when you're put in that situation again, then you are much, you're better prepared because you have those tools. One of the scariest things for me is I was to be 50 years old and still think like I'm 20. Have I not been humbled? Have I not learned anything? Have I not reflected and where I'm not at my, where I wasn't at my very best? Reflect on that. How can I become better?
Thank you. What changes do you see coming in your industry? Is there anything, one or two trends you're seeing in this wellness space that you're in?
I think the virtual stuff is becoming more and more popular. I think that there was an option for that. I'm hoping that it remains as an option, but doesn't become quite the dominant. I mean, at the end of the day, people are moving and they're being active. That's what's important. I think that there's going to be an embrace in technology. I think that there's going to be a huge demand for that. Orange Theory Fitness was right on point with their heart rate monitors and really kind of concentrate on the zones because that's important. I think that that will probably be a big influx, and I think it's be smart for longevity. Anything that can be timed can be measured.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in a certain zone for a certain amount of time and then you see the result, how can you measure that? How can you improve on that? So I think there's going to be a huge demand in technology. With kids in particular, trying to embrace that as well. I think embracing technology and physical fitness, and finding that connection between the two is going to be important, especially in the city life. It's just as important to be computer literate as it is to be physically literate as well. I think that there's a combination of the two. You know, if you can work this, then you can work at the same time.
Awesome. Well, you know, two more questions, Joshua, and then we'll let you go. But for a listener that's that has not started their own business and is perhaps thinking of doing it, do you have any, it's a bit of a loaded question here, but kind of one piece of advice you'd offer to them?
Don't be Blockbuster.
Right.
You know, if there's enough demand and if there's enough interest in it, then I think that then do it. Be the first. Don't be afraid of being the first, but also lead with your heart. Because if you're not passionate about it, it's as soon as there's adversity or resistance, if you don't have the passion. But that could be a double-edged sword as well, because you could be sinking and you can be like, oh, I'm so passionate about this. Also know when you might have to redirect or pivot. But like I said, don't be a Blockbuster. You know, if you have to pivot, but still stay in the same industry. Like when we started, we weren't a kids facility. I wanted to concentrate on adults. Over 60% of the calls that we were getting were about kids. Do you do kids camps? Do you do kids classes? Do you do birthday parties? So we listen to our clients, and then we our product evolved and we adapted based on what the customers. Listen to the customers. A good salesperson listens more than they talk. Trying to find out what the problem is, and then see if you can fix it.
Awesome. Thanks. And before we went live, Joshua, you and I were talking about some of the work you do in the community. Can you share with our listeners, please, and our viewers, how you give back to the community that serves you?
Yeah. Well, my mentor, Max, Max Keeping, he would end every newscast on Friday, and he'd always wear red to support the troops. But every Friday, he would always say, take the time to make a difference in the life of a child. And him and David Millen were also one of the founding reasons on why Ottawa was the first child and youth-friendly capital in the world. In CAFO, that was started right here in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So taking the time to make a difference in the life of a child. And so what we try to do is we always donate 5 packs or 10 packs to charity organizations, especially for fundraising towards kids. But I also personally sponsor 10 kids every year to go to my summer camp, because I don't like the idea that a kid, due to their financial situation, might lose out on joining camp. It's something that is close and dear to my heart, because I like to try and make a difference in the lives of children. So I also reach out to some of my members, and sometimes they help out and want to sponsor a child as well. But the most valuable currency in the world is your time. It's something that you just can't buy back and you can't get back. So spend your time wisely, fun, and see how you can use that to try and make other people feel different. We all have our superpower. And that's where OCR Academy, that's where we go to train to become superheroes. And through our words, we have the power to be able to change how somebody else feels. I was talking to you in Mandarin, you'd have no idea what I'm saying. So really just words are noise to let other people know what you're thinking. So if you can use that power wisely and try and make somebody else feel differently than you have, then that's a superpower right there. So, yeah.
Well done. Joshua, where can our listeners find out more about about your company and what it is that you do?
www.ocracademy.ca. And you can also find us on all the social medias, not all of them, most notably Instagram and Facebook at OCR Academy.
Great. Thanks so much for your time, Joshua. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.